Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut in the Clock. It's noon on a Wednesday, so that means it is Hut in the Clock. Caroline Willie D. Mays, we're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Joining us now is Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, D. Mays and I were just kind of breaking this down of all of the national conversation, commentary, articles about coaches that could be on the hot seat. Seeing several different lists, several different conversations, yet none, at least that we have seen, have involved Mike Vrabel. Do you think that's fair and justified? And do you expect maybe some potential coaching changes, maybe not at the top necessarily, but underneath Mike Vrabel coming up over the next few weeks with the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, I think there's going to be some turnover. I think that's evident just based on how bad this team has been for back-to-back seasons.
They're bad.
Absolutely. Do I think it's fair and justified that his name's not on a list of like 10 to 15 coaches? I mean, I'm exaggerating there, but it's lengthy. Not necessarily fair or justified, but do I expect him to be fired? No, I do not. If I'm putting together a list of hot seat coaches, I'm not listing him simply because I don't think he's going to be fired. Now, I didn't think J-Rob was going to be either when he was fired. But does it set up a hot seat list for 2024? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the discussion, and I'm sorry, guys, I missed what you were saying just before I jumped on with you. But I heard a bit of earlier conversation. All of the conversation sets up for a off season of you have the most salary cap space, you have draft picks, put it together, and that will be the hot seat season. Because right now the narrative around what's gone on, the blame was pointed to John Robinson, fair or not, and then they fair on the depth when you look especially at the offensive line, and now it Rand Carthon and. The general manager and head coach are not aligned contractually. And the assumption, and I think it's totally fair, is that Vrabel's calling shots. So if he's doing that, the blame's going to go to him next. And that's also fair. That's fine. That's the National Football League. And that will be what this offseason's totally about. And what they've got to figure out now is who's a part of the solution, because there's not many solutions on that field, especially in the trenches.
And there's also not a whole lot of assets or resources to rebuild the pieces that aren't necessarily solutions that you have in place right now. Will Levis, it was reported that he's dealing with a high ankle sprain. I think it's fair to assume, although it hasn't been reported, that he won't be out there on Sunday. If not Levis, then who should be quarterbacking the Titans on Sunday, Hutton?
Well, from a professional standpoint, the situation is not a great one. Both quarterbacks are going to be available if Levis isn't. Let's put it this way. Tannehill and Willis. I'm having a long conversation with Ryan Tannehill because the way he's handled things has been in the professional manner. The way he handled things last year, playing through and then ultimately having the surgery, getting hurt again, all that professional. He's been very good for the organization. And they went with Levis for a reason. Tannehill handled it fine. He's been the backup. If I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm thinking to myself, what do I have left to prove going into free agency? I'm landing with another team. I want to be a starter again. I'm also not wanting to finish out this season behind this crappy offensive line that's gotten me hurt the last 2 years and that's gotten two quarterbacks hurt this season. Offensive linemen who are not just like missing, they're not just getting run over. To me, when you whiff on a block, it's that you're run blocking instead of pass protection. You're pass blocking instead of the called run. There are miscommunications for a team that should not have those miscommunications. And maybe that's due to a new center instead of Ben Jones. Maybe that's due to a rookie quarterback instead of Ryan Tannehill. Miscommunication ultimately starts at the top. And Taylor Lewan kind of laid that out there whenever he was on the Manning cast on Monday Night Football. I tend to lean towards it's Willis, and Tannehill's going to be available if needed.
Well, I mean, I don't think Hutt, you know, moving forward. And if they asked Ryan Tannehill to play, I'm sure, you know, he would play. But I wouldn't even put him in that position to even be out there considering what's in front of him. If you want to do him a favor, don't put him out there unless you have to. This is an opportunity, and let me know if you feel this way in regards to what the Titans are going to have to do in the offseason. This is an opportunity for them to, you know who their question mark, who their exclamation marks are, the guys that are going to be on this team, their question marks, guys that we need to see a little bit more from them, you know, before the offseason, and guys that you just know X, they will not be on your team. This is an opportunity for Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel, or Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon, whoever, however you want to put the hierarchy, gives them an opportunity to evaluate Malik Willis, I think. Don't put Ryan Tannehill back out there. You're not helping him not one bit. His career is what it is. He can't build on it. He can't detract from it. He's going to be a starting quarterback this offseason on somebody else's team. Why would you even jeopardize that?
Yeah, but a part of me too, like the just, and I agree with you. It's hard for me to evaluate Will Levis, Mace, behind this offensive
line. You're right.
I don't know what I'm going to evaluate with Malik Willis. I'm saying that publicly, but privately, I'm just trying to get to the offseason and get new players in here. That's ultimately what this is about now that they're mathematically eliminated from the postseason. And that's why they'll have – I think they will have the behind-the-scenes discussion with Ryan, just like they did whenever they made the change with Levis, just to say, hey, that we – from the business perspective, it's different this year than it was last year. How do you want to proceed? And it's just a one-on-one conversation because it's Vrabel's decision. Mm-hmm. But ultimately – I mean, they're not going to go to Malik Willis. He's not going to have much say in this. It's they're going to Tannehill. And, yeah, get to the offseason and fix some things. You mentioned the exclamation points and the – you know, put a big X on it, and some guys you question marks. Some guys are just like a period. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not excited about it, but you've got to have them. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm looking at some of the tight end, you've going through Chig and Treylon Burks, and those guys are going to be back unless they're malcontents in the offseason. They're going to be back, and you've got to just factor them in as pieces, and then you have to factor in the fact that you've got to have solutions up front of the offensive line to give your quarterback an opportunity to get to your exclamation points. I love the description there, because Tajay Spears would be that player. DeAndre Hopkins is that player. Skaronski's got to be that player, right? You've got to have those solutions. But the defensively too, there are issues, and you got to have solutions more than just, oh, Big Jeff's going to come back healthy. So Harold Landry is going to finish the season strong and then have a strong offseason. There are things that they have to count on to just get to next year and be much better than they were. It's not a quick fix. It wasn't last offseason, but I'm sorry, but it's been embarrassing what we've seen on the field. And if not for the miracle in Miami, this would be a total failure. It's looked at in that final series, and rightfully so. The fourth quarter was awesome to come back. But it's not like they were running the football effectively in that game either. It's not like Will Levis was playing all that well until that fourth quarter either. The issues continue around this same theme, and that's what they've got to figure out, Mace, more than just figuring out who's here. How are we coaching them? How do we improve them? And why hasn't it clicked? Why has it been this bad over the last season and a half, two-plus seasons? Mm-hmm. That's what they've got to correct, and they've got to make sure – that they find the solutions in the draft, which they have not done. That's why they're in this place.
Now, we hadn't talked to you, Hutt, since the Tier Tart release. What do you make of that? Because we saw it. Look, Pecco was out. Simmons was out. And Tier Tart, to me, was the best interior guy besides Simmons. You let him go, and you see what that defensive line is. They're not good. So what do you make of the release?
Tier Tart didn't want to be a part of this rotation, Mace, is the way I take it. I mean, they brought him back. Vrabel made a point going into last offseason or just after It may have been just after they decided to bring him back in his first press conference, where I know we're about to hear him hear from Vrabel again here in a couple minutes. Made a point to mention Tart as one of the players that has to be like, okay, he's valuable. He's a role player. He's a piece to the puzzle, but he has to realize that there's another level that he can get to. And I don't feel like that player ever existed. And Tier Tart's going to go on and be a rotational piece. He's not going to have the same mindset and mentality of Jeffrey Simmons that still doesn't think he's playing his best football, that still doesn't think he's peaked. And it feels like, you know, even an injury, he should be out there playing. So not everyone's Big Jeff. Not everyone's the leader and the – not everyone's the grizzly bear that Jeffrey Simmons is. But Tier Tart was brought back to play a specific role, and when they needed him, he wasn't available or he didn't feel like he wanted to do it. He said he asked for his release. That tells me he didn't want to do it. And he's playing for a coach, and he's playing for a defense that's leading this team into close games at best, and that's keeping the score for the opponent around 20. I view that as a defense I would want to play in the NFL. And for whatever reason, Tier Tart would rather just be a rotational piece elsewhere. I don't get it. But he cycled through college quite a bit too. Junior college, community college, then he ended up at FIU, undrafted. He got plenty of chances here, and ultimately he made the most of his reps. And then when the reps came this year, he wasn't there. That's why he's not here.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. Hutton, last one from me. Whether Tannehill is the starter this weekend or not, I have a feeling we may hear from Vrabel today about what that decision is, maybe not. What do you think Ryan Tannehill's future is? Could it be with the Titans?
No, I don't think so, Caroline, because I think Will Levis is the future here. And
in a backup role.
No, I think Ryan Tannehill could start next year. Have you looked around the league? Look at these quarterbacks.
This is brutal quarterbacking in the league.
Look at these quarterbacks right now. Yeah, Tannehill's going to be a starter somewhere next year. And that's either with a similar situation where he has a Will Levis behind him somewhere else, a version of him somewhere else, or he's brought in because the solution that they've had just isn't good enough. I'm looking at Atlanta, for instance, not just because of Arthur Smith, just the situation. Desmond Ridder is being benched for a second time. Taylor Heineke's not an NFL starter. Ryan Tannehill is still an NFL starter. He's benched for injury and for the circumstance of the contract. I view Tannehill as a starter, and there's plenty of landing spots this offseason, unlike a situation where, you know, going into this year, the thought was there's going to be four or five quarterbacks in the first round. There still could be, but I don't know if there's immediate starters like that. Like, I'm seeing J.J. McCarthy in the top 10 in some of these mocks that are out in December. You know, Jaden Daniels and other players who are going to be high picks. Mm-hmm. But there's plenty of coaches there's so many coaches on the hot seat. Some of them are going to be brought back. They do not need to lose. You're not going to want to go with a young quarterback in that situation. You want to groom someone that you can start in a dire spot and then move forward with them as you prove that you're the coach. You want a veteran in there. Tannehill can provide that on his way out of the league as a retirement.
Hutton, appreciate you as always. We got a break early to get to Mike Vrabel's press conference, but appreciate you for stopping by.
Yep, I'll be listening. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Right, sounds great. Merry Christmas to you and yours, Hutton. All right, we'll send it over to St. Thomas Sports Park where Mike Vrabel is addressing the media now.
And, you know, trying to do everything he can to help the team.
Coming off the loss, Coach, what are some of the conversations you're having with the team in terms of looking ahead these last couple of
days? Don't look too far ahead, Jill. Focus on today. Focus on being a great teammate. Focus on being ready to play, being energized, being decisive in our actions on the field and being ready to play fast and aggressive on Sunday. That's it.
Evaluation process, like, does that ramp up as you go through these last three games, or does it stay the same? Like, how do you approach that?
I think we're always trying to evaluate. I think that's, you know, those are opportunities for somebody. Every snap means something to somebody. So what we're focused on Sunday, we're focused on, you know, getting back out there, getting ready to go against the, you know, team played really well and played really well as a team on Monday night.
What's the key to Nico Autry's continued success and also the being putting up career numbers 10 years into the league as a defensive lineman?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, he works really hard at it. I think he's an instinctive football player. you know, his toughness, you know, is being able to be out there. He plays a lot of snaps for us and being productive. I think we've seen him win on the inside, outside. He's worked well in games together. He has a knack for he's an instinctive player. You know, he's batted passes, and we, you know, kind of missed him, obviously, last year in a stretch that we didn't have him. And, you know, understands football very well, whether it's in a run game or what he's trying to do in pass rush, or if he has to move and move a gap and attack another offensive blocker.
Usually a guy at that stage is kind of making a trade-off, Mike, where he's using some of those smarts in exchange for some physical sacrifice. Is he at that stage yet, or has he still got it all?
No, I mean, I think that he's, you know, proven that he's beaten players across the board, and, you know, we'll need him, you know, to continue to affect the quarterback in multiple ways on early downs, on third down, you know, just like he did at times the other day.
As far as Will's schedule this week, we just have him rehab during practice or and try to do everything he can to get himself in a position?
You know, he's like every other player that won't be out there today. They're doing everything they can to get back. And then we'll have to make a decision on their availability based on their health.
He'll take the first team reps today. I mean, he would be the guy on Sunday if Will can't go, or is that
Ryan would be the quarterback if Will is unavailable.
How's Jeff, and what do you anticipate for him this week?
Jeff won't be out there today, and we'll focus on today, and then, you know, see where he's at going forward. But he will not be out there today.
Like what you said about that, that this is an unfamiliar position to be eliminated at this point. You weren't even sure then what your message would be to the team. You said you tried to figure it out before they came back. What did you figure out?
Focus on today, be a great teammate, find a way to be decisive, have energy, and be ready to play fast and aggressive. And that's all we can ask them to do. So that's what the message is. You know, ask them what they're playing for. you know, everybody's motivated. You know, we got to continue to teach, develop, inspire them to do their job better. And that's our goal as coaches, and focus on today and, you know, work.
When you look to defend them, the receiving core and all the different shapes and sizes they come in, what are maybe the challenges you're dealing with?
Well, they move it around. You know, I mean, those three receivers they're all different, and they all have similar amount of targets. You know, so they're finding ways to get them the ball, whether that's in a play pass, whether that's on, you know, quick game, the drop back stuff, and you know, so they do move it around. They do a nice job of, you know, complementing the run game with some of the play passes. And, you know, they trust guys over there if they're singled up and, you know, post safety defense. It's, you know, got to be ready to defend over there on the weak side.
You've had a chance to see Will for 8 weeks now. What are maybe the two or three things that stand out for you is that you've liked the most from what you've seen from him?
Well, I think all our quarterbacks have a degree of toughness that you have to have playing this game. So I would say that's something that he's exhibited. You know, we've talked about his ability to make a mistake and come back. You know, I think there's some resiliency there. So that's an important quality for any position.
You look at their three tight end packages and how they can pass as well as run out of that. Like, how much stress does that put on you guys in the defense?
Well, their ability to stay balanced and use Fant and, you know, Disley in multiple ways. They have all the same plays. It's just out of different personnel groups and different formations. They do a nice job of formation it. So the plays all end up, you know, carrying over through personnel groups, it looks like, being able to get to the same plays out of 11, you know, 12, or like you mentioned, 13.
What goes into the decision to go with Ryan if Will can't go over Malik?
Ryan has been the backup quarterback.
Mike, the three teams that you have left on your schedule are all still in contention. Is there any degree of satisfaction in playing a spoiler role?
No. No, I meant we have to be ready to win and prepare, and, you know, obviously those teams are, you know, in contention. Seattle's, you know, what they are, .500, and we'll have to prepare for them. It's a good football team, and good special team, very good special teams unit. Speed on defense and big up front on offense and talented skill players.
Mike, for you, what's the importance of these last three games in terms of building some momentum going into the offseason?
I don't want to do any of that right now, Gentry. The momentum has to be built on today and, build on, getting guys ready to play. We're going to be thin when we get out there today. And we'll see where it is and see who's available. That's really the only focus and evaluation is on this football team and the guys that we have available right now.
What are your thoughts been on Jalen since he moved into the starting lineup?
Probably inconsistent, like most everybody, starting with me, all the way down. We've been through it. We make some plays, and then in each phase we do some things that cost us. And, 6-1 score games that we lose. We lose 6-1 score games. So there's just the margin for error is very thin, and so that would say inconsistent.
How do you think Trey and Eric have played in their exposure playing a corner?
Well, competitive, and then things that we have to correct. But Eric's been ready to go, has improved, and Trey's got some really positive snaps in there. The one penalty that they called, he had a fantastic break and probably too good and didn't need to foul the guy over there on the sideline. And then, the one in the middle of the field, that's up for grabs and they called it. But I thought it was a well-contested, well-defended route. So I think that those guys are working hard and, we'll continue to help us.
Starter, what have you seen out of him that you have liked, Coach? And maybe what are some of those things you expect a little more out of him at that position?
Well, each week is a new challenge. Sometimes they're fast guys, there's bigger guys. I thought he's been able to get to the second level extremely well. And we talked about his ability to block players in space. There's been some really, really cool things there. And whether it's in pass protection or passing off games and, things that we all can work on.
Who else isn't practicing?
It's a long list, buddy. You'll have to take a peek when you get out there. Jeff won't be out there. Burks won't be out there. Hooker won't be out there. Nick Westbrook won't be out there. Wesco won't be out there. Brewer won't be out there. Brunskill won't be out there. Levis won't be out there. SMB won't be out there. Don't interrupt me, Kayla. I was.
You need to check the list twice.
It wasn't that funny. Leave the jokes to me. It was pretty good, Teresa. That'll be it. That's all.
All right. Awfully jovial. For Mike Vrabel, that was another level of cranky. That was another level of, I don't want to be here talking to you right now. But the big news from Mike Vrabel there, he says if Will Levis can't go, Ryan Tannehill will be the starter. But we will hear from Will Levis coming up next. We'll carry that live and in its entirety. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We'll hear from Will Levis at the podium shortly. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today for Vanderbilt women's basketball. The Commodores will be at Memorial Gym taking on Dayton. Tip-off is at 1 p.m. and pregame begins at 12:45 p.m. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Just heard from Mike Vrabel at the podium, and the big chunk of news is if Will Levis can't go. Now, Jeremy Fowler reported on Monday night that Will Levis is dealing with a high ankle sprain. So, Will Levis is not going to play. I feel confident in saying that. I'm not reporting that. The Titans haven't reported that. I don't think that they want to report that. But it feels like with a high ankle sprain, just knowing what that injury is and how severe it can be, Will Levis is not going to play. So if Will Levis doesn't go, it's Ryan Tannehill. What do you make of that decision, D-Mace?
I think it's a decision that, and you said it off air, it's a decision that gives the perception of we still want to win. We're going to go out here and we're going to put together the best team possible this Sunday to win a football game. And then I do believe it's, you know, because you don't want this thing to get no uglier than what it has been.
Right.
You put Malik Willis in there, it will get uglier. And is that something that the, you know, this fan base want to continue to see? No, they want to see some sense of life. Mm-hmm. And you want to give your team some sense of, you know we're not making the playoffs, but a win feels good, you know, Monday morning. Waking up Monday morning with a win feels good. And Ryan Tannehill gives them the best opportunity to win this football game. But it doesn't change, you know, what is going to potentially happen. He's not going to be on his team next year. He's going to be on somebody else's team. So it's not like you throw him back here, he played great three games, and then all of a sudden you bring him back next year. No, that's not happening. So, you know, he's just basically trying to win as many games as he possibly can. You don't want to end the season losing your last four games, because they lost last week, losing your last four games going into the offseason. Now the owner may have a change of thought. You know, if it looks that ugly, then the national narrative may start to change if it gets ugly these last. Hell, it's been ugly all season. But if it ends ugly, them losing the last four games, yeah, you may have to rethink some things.
It would be ugly with Malik Willis.
Yes, it will. And I hate to say that about the young man, because I know how hard, you know, that position is the hardest position to play on the field. Mm-hmm. But he's just not ready. The last time we saw him, he's not ready to be a backup in this league. He's not. Do I think he deserve to be on the team? Yeah, I think if he gets better. But we won't even see that, you know, unless something happens to Ryan Tannehill. We won't even see that. So, you know, it's just unfortunate for him. But, you know, this business is about winning, and Vrabel's going to try to do whatever he can to not, you know, make the optics look as bad as they are now.
If I were Mike Vrabel, I think I would have played Malik Willis. I think that is probably the smarter move, just given where you're at, where this offensive line is at, where this team is at. Now, if Will Levis went down and you were – you're what, 5-9 now? If you were, I don't know, 6-7. Yeah, right. Like, if you were still
mathematically still in
the hunt, then I would say absolutely you go with Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. because Ryan Tannehill gives you the best opportunity to win. But you're not. You're out of the playoffs. Best case scenario, you tie for last place. You're going to be in last place in this crap division.
No matter what.
No matter what. You're going to be in last place. Whether you're alone or not, you're going to be in last place. So I would have played Malik Willis. But I understand why Mike Vrabel is going with Ryan Tannehill. Now, he was asked why Ryan Tannehill. He said, well, because Ryan's been backup all season, you know, since Lepps took over. And I get that. Mm-hmm. But I think it's two things. One, Mike Vrabel has said, we want to win these football games. We want to give our team the best possible chance to win the rest of these football games. And I get that. He should feel that way. Because it's easy for me or for you or for any of us at this station or any fans that are listening to say, you know, hey, you're out of it. Doesn't matter anymore. That's not how Mike Vrabel thinks. It's not how he should think. That's not how that locker room thinks. You shouldn't think, well, we're out of the playoffs, so it doesn't matter anymore. Who cares? So I think it's that. It's the messaging of, I told everyone that we're going to try and win football games, and that's what exactly what we're going to try and to do. You trot Malik Willis out there, that sends a message that, hey, we're waving the white flag.
Well, it sends a message to everybody in the locker room. And, you know, more importantly, it sends a message to your offensive players. Like, we're bagging it in. We're packing up our boxes. You know, we're getting ready for the offseason. And we still got three games remaining. That's basically what it's telling, you know, the other, you know, 10 guys on the offense. Because when you put Malik Willis in, you know how your offense diminishes from a play call standpoint. So if you do that, you're telling everybody, D-Hop, you know, Traylon, all the guys that, listen, we're done with this season, you know? And then how do guys respond to that if you were to do that? How do guys respond to that in practice the next week? Is everything just like laissez-faire and just, yeah, you threw Malik Willis in there. You done with the season, so we might as well be done with it too. So he has to hold everything together because, again, like I said, if that happens and it start looking even worse on the field and then you start seeing players' body language change, the first thing it said is he's lost the locker room now. And that is the kiss of death. That is, you might as well, as a head coach, if you don't get it straightened out, you might as well pack your bags.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's the other aspect of that, too, is you got two divisional games left mm-hmm. in Jacksonville and probably more importantly against Houston. If Malik Willis is your quarterback against Houston, you're going to get embarrassed again yeah. in Houston.
Yeah.
I don't think Mike Vrabel wants to sign up for that. Mm-mm. I don't think Amy Adams Strunk wants to sign up for that because a majority of the season has been embarrassing. Yes. Let's just admit that. This team is bad and that's embarrassing. Sunday was probably peak embarrassment. That Houston comes to town, you're wearing the Oilers uniforms, Earl Campbell is in the house. You know, it's basically the
Billy White Shoes Johnson.
In the Ring of Honor.
Exactly.
Mike Vrabel's wearing the Bum Phillips cowboy hat. You know, it's basically nanny nanny boo-booing the Houston Texans. They've got their third string quarterback in. They don't have their one of their best defensive players, the third overall pick in the draft. Mm-hmm. They don't have their two leading receivers. They don't have their starting right tackle. And you have a 13-0 lead at home and you blow it. That's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I don't think this team wants to go down that road again. And Ryan Tannehill gives you the best opportunity to not be embarrassed.
Yeah, all I say to Ryan is protect yourself because, you know, those guys are going to go out there and they're going to play hard, the offensive line, but they're just not good. They are not starters. They are not – some of those guys, I don't know if they can even be backups nowadays. You know, I don't know if they can even be a backup based on what we've seen this season. You know, and that's saying a lot because the last thing I'm going to get on here and say is, oh, you can't play in the NFL. Well, I know a lot of guys that can. You may not be a starter, but you can play in this league.
I think Malik has shown us he's not a starter.
Yeah, he's not a starter. And then it's, you know, the offensive line. They don't have any starter on that offensive line except Peter. And Peter is still learning. He's still learning how to play guard in the National Football League. And when you don't have help to your left or to your right, it makes your job even that much harder. So one guy out of all those guys, is a starter or a potential starter in the NFL. That's not good. That's not good. I can't point to another guy on that offensive line and say, oh, you can be a starter on somebody's team. They couldn't even go to Carolina, who's god-awful. They're awful.
Carolina's terrible. Yeah,
and they can't even be starters on their team. You know, they may just because it's like, well, let's see what they can do. But ultimately, they're not starters on that team either. So, you know, it's – to me, Ryan, protect yourself. Tim Kelly – you need to protect Ryan because if you try to get into this, you know, we want to pass mode all the time, then you're going to open him up to more and more injuries.
So we just heard from Mike Vrabel. We were supposed to hear from Will Levis. I'm watching the stream on TennesseeTitans.com on their live video stream where we normally play out the press conferences. Mm-hmm. Once Mike Vrabel wrapped up, there was a little rotating graphic that said, up next, Will Levis. Now the stream is down. I don't think we're going to hear from Will Levis.
Nah, I don't think we're going to hear from Will Levis. Why? Why do we need to hear? Honestly, why would you even put Will Levis on a podium?
Well, I mean,
he's not playing.
They're the ones that's not willing to say that he's not playing.
Exactly. So you know he's not playing, and he may not play for the remainder. Why even put him on a podium? Why? To talk about what happened last week, how your ankle feel. You can do that in the locker room. You know, you can get in the scrum and ask some of those questions. He doesn't need to be put on a podium. You just said that Ryan Tannehill is going to play if Will can't. More than likely, Will ain't playing. 99.9% chance he ain't playing.
Right.
So you put Ryan Tannehill up there. But then you don't want to put Ryan Tannehill up there because you're opening him up to potential questions about the end of the season, his future. You know, are you going to take these last three games if you do as a sort of a resume builder for your schedule?
He can handle it. He's a big boy.
But, I mean, they don't want to put him in that situation because now you're going to be, you know, it's almost, in a sense, pitting him against a young guy, and they don't want to do it.
I don't think that they want to admit that Will Levis isn't going to play on Sunday.
Yeah, maybe that's an advantage, but he already said Malik Willis is not going to be the starter. So you didn't already gave away your tactical advantage in a sense. You already said Tannehill, you know, he would be the guy if Will can't go, and we know Will ain't going.
We know that.
Yeah, unless he's just, I mean, he can do the whole Mr. Miyagi and, you know, rub his hands and touch your ankle, it's heated up, and all of a sudden it's good. You can do that. Or you can go see Aaron Rodgers, his guy or gal, and you can be back on the field. But the chances of that happening is slim to none.
We all, I mean, with that injury, when Jeremy Fowler reported what it was, you're not going to play. I don't even expect to see Will Levis for the rest of the season, much less on Sunday. So I was waiting for Mike Vrabel to say it. Look, Will Levis isn't going to go on Sunday. He didn't say it. Okay, if you really want to be that top secret about everything, fine. But now Will Levis isn't speaking to the media. Look, I don't blame them, but just, hey, look, Will Levis isn't playing.
Yeah.
That's the truth. That's kind of what we all expected. That's what we expected before even the Jeremy Fowler report. But, I mean, can you not just come out and say it?
No, that's not Vrabel. It's not. I mean, you know he got to give you all of these Vrabelese, and yes, the ums, and, well, you know, we're just going to continue to evaluate it and.
We're on to Seattle.
Yeah, it's just like he's going to give you all those things.
It's
you know?
Just the top secret of it all. So unnecessary. So I'm guessing we're not going to hear from Will Levis. So let's hear from you coming up next. We'll get your reaction, your takeaways from Mike Vrabel's press conference right into your phones coming up next. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Caroline Willie D. Mace, make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Tannehill take the first team reps today. I mean, he would be the guy on Sunday if Will can't go, or is that
Ryan would be the quarterback if Will is unavailable.
All right, that was the juicy tidbit from Mike Vrabel's press conference earlier that if Will Levis can't go, Ryan Tannehill will be the starter. Now, Will Levis, it was reported by Jeremy Fowler earlier this week, he's dealing with a high ankle sprain. Will Levis was supposed to talk to the media today, and he is not. So that would tell me he's probably not practicing today. It would also indicate to me that he is not going to play this weekend in probably the most unsurprising news of the day. Now, it hasn't been confirmed by the Titans, hasn't been reported by anyone within the Titans that Will Levis isn't going to play, but all signs point toward Ryan Tannehill on Sunday. Want to get your reaction on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeff Texan says Malik Willis hasn't shown any signs of being an NFL-level quarterback, so why waste your time playing him again? He was atrocious.
Well, you didn't lie about him being atrocious. He was bad. But, I mean, this is where... Yeah, he was bad. I mean, but... Hindsight, you look at it and you think, well, did he even have an opportunity to even show that he, you know, was making progress based on the offensive line?
This wouldn't be an opportunity either.
That's what I'm saying.
This offensive line is terrible.
And that's what I'm saying. It's like now that you look at it, I'm not saying that Malik Willis is a starter in this league. That is not what I'm saying. But now that we see it, did they even give him an opportunity to prove that he's a serviceable backup, considering what happened to Ryan Tannehill, what happened to Will Levis. And it's like this offensive line, no matter who you throw out there, they are not going to give you the best version of themselves.
And you're right. And I do think that in Malik Willis's rookie season in 2022, he had no business.
Yeah, he had no business out of
the field. That was a John Robinson thing. I think Malik Willis showed promise in the preseason, but still what we saw in Baltimore, again in London, Baltimore, He got sacked 4 times on 5 snaps. Yeah. He stayed in bounds when really all he needed to do was run out of bounds. He didn't need to be Superman. He didn't need to make a hero play. Just step out of bounds. It's that kind of, you know, thinking on your feet, little parts of the game that I just haven't seen Malik Willis piece together. Has he made progress? Yeah. Is it enough progress to show me that that I could even trust him with the keys to the car if Will Levis gets hurt next year? No, I haven't.
No, certain situations, you say, man, you should have just did this. But when you're only, when you know that your opportunities are few and far between, you're going to try to make every play out of nothing. You're going to try to make a nothing play and make it the best play in the world, a heroic play. And he's just not at a point in his career where he can play hero ball. He's just not. He doesn't have the NFL tools for him to be able to play hero ball. So I look at that Baltimore game, and it's like, I mean, hell. It was just foreshadowing what we're going to see for the remainder of the season as far as quarterbacks getting sacked. Whether he plays or not, which he more than likely won't, well, Malik Willis, I thought this would be an opportunity to give him one last shot. Let's see what he does in this situation. We have nothing to lose. We have potentially something to gain in regards to how we evaluate, how we look at our roster heading into the offseason. Like, we know for sure he's not on it. He is. Do I expect Malik Willis to remain on this team? I don't know. But, I mean, you know, what do you do then? Okay, if Will Levis can't play this game, and then Malik Willis ends up being the backup, and something is telling me that Tannehill might not survive the game. And just think if Tannehill has to play the remainder of the season.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a high likelihood.
Yeah. Do you think he's going to survive the rest of the season? And it's funny because it's only 3 games.
That's how bad this offensive line is.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, again, just like college coaches, I've always said this about college coaches and quarterbacks. As a college coach, I'm not trying to prepare you for the NFL. I'm trying to win football games. That's what I'm doing. If you make it to the NFL, then great. It's good
They'll
for our program.
They'll develop
you there. Yeah, you'll get your development there. I think right now, he's not in the business to, I think Vrabel anyway, is not in the business right now. He want to win football games. Mm-hmm. That's his, he just want to win football games so it can lessen the blow of an off season. It's still going to be a bad off season, but it lessens the blow if you can win the next 3 or 2 out of the next 3 because they're divisional games. So he's in the business of winning games. He's not in the business of, putting you on the field after you've already given you opportunities, putting you on the field and said, okay, here, take the keys to the car. That's not where he's at because he's given you opportunities in the past. It didn't work out. And we all know why it didn't work out. Some of it your fault, but majority of it was this roster.
Right.
So I don't have to throw you in there again as a head coach. I need to save, what is it? Save your own backside.
Uh-huh.
That's what Vrabel's doing now. He's saving his own backside. He's covering his you-know-what.
He's got a lot of saving to
Exactly.
do. Dave is on the line with the Titans Thought. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. And you kind of touched on this when you say that it sounds like he's in survival mode, Tannehill, if he's going to be back there. So, like, what is his incentive in his – like, what's his incentive in his mind? And what's the message for the rest of his offense? And do they match up, or has he got to kind of lie about what he's thinking to try to get these guys motivated? What's Tannehill's motivation and mindset at this point?
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
I think Ryan Tannehill is just an extension of Mike Vrabel from the standpoint of it's almost like Will has to be the hero, have to be the savior. Not Will, but Ryan has to be the savior. Not savior meaning I'm saving the season. No, I'm saving a locker room. I am the savior of the locker room because if Malik Willis is play, if they were to name Malik Willis the starting quarterback, like we talked about earlier, what does that tell everybody in the locker room? We're done. We're packing it in. We just want to see what we have in this young quarterback. We ain't even thinking about winning. We win, great, but that's not the end goal. We want to, you know, talent evaluation. We want to evaluate this talent. You have a potential to lose a whole locker room. This is a locker room saving move. That's what this is. One, to make sure we at least have an opportunity to win, because he named out all the guys that's not practicing today. And some of them guys that may not play Sunday.
I try to take a list. No Burks, no Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, no Aaron Brewer, no Daniel Brunskill, no Sean Murphy Bunting. And I miss like five or six of players that aren't practicing today. Not necessarily. No Simmons, of course.
Yes.
Those are just players that aren't practicing today. Not necessarily their availability for Sunday. But it's a laundry list of players.
But this is I truly believe this is a locker room saving move. This is to keep the locker room intact. I don't think the locker room, if there's anything wrong with it other than, you know, guys don't want to lose. They hate losing. So there may be some sort of tension in the locker room because we're losing.
Yeah.
And nobody operates well when you're losing football games. Nobody does. But
and Ryan gives you the best chance to win.
He gives you the best chance to win, which gives you the best chance to hold on to that locker room. They got rid of Tierre Tart because he was supposedly, you know, potentially could be a cancer in the locker room. They don't want to then star Malik Willis. And again, it's telling everybody, we are done with the season. Pack it up, make your trips, you know, whatever you need to do because we're done with the season. He can't do that.
And, you know, what's Tannehill's motivation? Tannehill's auditioning.
Yeah.
Tannehill is interviewing for his next job, whether that's here, whether that is elsewhere. And that's what I want to get into coming up next. In addition to your phones on this, your reactions to Mike Vrabel's press conference, I want to get into Ryan Tannehill. What does this weekend, assuming that he is getting the start, since we didn't hear from Will Levis today, I'm going to assume that Ryan Tannehill is going to get the start, that Will Levis is out this weekend. What's Ryan Tannehill's future? And where do the Titans fit into that? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie DeMace, 1025-1063 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.